So I just wanted to say God bless you, and I wanted to thank God for the privilege to be able to do this, because it is a great privilege. I also want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for allowing me to oversee this camp that we're doing, this youth advance on ambassadors. And kind of like what Tim was saying, God must be so blessed, because you are beautiful. You guys are just gorgeous believers. I can't even imagine how God is so thrilled because of the word living in you. You know, how we see ourselves as one thing, and it's probably not right a lot of times, you know? If you see yourself the way God sees you, then that's correct and right. And in the world, you know, you're not going to get that so much. But from the word, the way God sees you, you are just so gorgeous, handsome, beautiful. God just must be so thrilled, because he has no greater joy than to see that his children walk in truth. And when you walk on the word, that's the truth. And he just gets so blessed by that. It's like God's dream to have people believe in him. That's what he wants. And do you believe God? Yeah. You know, I can't say that I believe every single thing God has ever said. I don't know everything God ever said, you know, but I know some of it from the word. And if you have the heart to believe God, then that's God's, he's so blessed by that. And you being here at camp is evidence of that. Because you had to, like, fill out a form and work it out to get here, right? Some of you came from faraway places, which is really cool. The guys that came in from out of the state of New Jersey, please stand up. Yes. Druso, come on. All right. We got Connecticut, yes? All right. Thank you, guys. These guys came from a long ways, so welcome. It's great to have you. My goal for this ambassadors camp is that you see yourself as God sees you. Wouldn't that be nice? Because what God sees is beautiful, like I was just talking about. Not how the world sees us, not how we see ourselves, unless it lines up with the word, but literally how God sees us. And what I want to share on tonight is ambassadors. So you can take your Bibles. Actually, we're going to go to John 10:10 first. As our first verse for the night, John 10:10. You know, God gave us this life to live it. I mean, good gravy. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it," how? More abundantly. God gave us this life to live it. Where, if you're just scraping by, that's not the abundant life. Do you see that? Hello?
Yes.
You should be living this life, like doing it the way God told us to, the way God made available. He sent his son for that purpose. So if we're not living an abundant life, something is wackadoodle, right? Yeah. It's not right. We should be living this life more than abundantly. That's what he sent his son for. So why would you let anything stop you from doing that? That should be your heart. It should be like, get out of my way, man. I'm living this life. In a good way, in a positive way, in a beautiful way. It's a more than abundant life. It's not just abundant. It would have been great. Oh, live an abundant life. It's more than abundant. That what that means is above measure. Where everybody's living on here in the world, but God wants us to be living up here, above measure. That's because of the Spirit of God in us and manifesting God's power that's available. That's how we live a more than abundant life here now. Okay? He also came so that we could have life. This word life is Zoe in all of its manifestations. And have it more abundant, and we know we have eternal life as well. But we live this abundant life starting when? Now. And that's awesome. We should not settle for anything less. And don't ever play the victim card as a believer. Woe is me, my life sucks, all this stuff. You have God on your side. Are you kidding me? You need to get a checkup from the neck up. You're not a victim. You're a son of God, and that's great. You're just not going to let anybody talk you out of what God has made available for you. And that should just settle it for you. It was so cool. Tim read my letter that I wrote to you of what God's word says in 2 Corinthians. You can go there for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for our theme verse for this advance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's what I'm going to share on tonight here. It says, when?
Now.
Oh, like two people. When?
Now.
Now then. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This verse right here is the truth. It's what God's word says. It says we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. And that's what I want to get into tonight. I want to show you what an ambassador is in a moment here. And, you know, gosh, before we do that, I want to just talk a little bit about the integrity of God's word. What's one of the cool things is that there's a bunch of you here that I don't really know. And that's great. That is so awesome. I want to get to know you, all of you. And one of the things I want to share with you about me is that the reason why I do these things is because I went to something like this when I was a teenager. And it impacted me. I'm still feeling it today. That's the kind of impact it made on me. And it wasn't a particular person or anything. It was the word. The word of God is what impacted my life. And it was just so great. I was like, yes! I found the truth! And I was so blessed and I was thrilled in the depths of my heart. And I loved the believers that just accepted me and loved me because I was just me. I was just myself, a believer. What's better than that? And that God accepted me and just, man, I remember walking arm in arm with some people and just feeling like I was floating on air because of the family of God. That song was so great. We sang the family of God. That's what we're part of. And I was like, I tasted it. You ever taste something really good? You taste it, right? And then you want to tell somebody, yo, that was good, right? That's what it's like for me. I tasted it, and I was never the same. So go to 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. These verses here. Some of you know these verses, and some of you don't. But this is God's word here. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Really important verses in God's word here that kind of cover the integrity of the word. If you don't have a mark by this verse in your Bible, maybe you should mark it. Mine is marked off because this is some great stuff right here. It says, knowing this when?
First,
that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Thank God for that. This word private comes from a Greek word, idios. What word do you think we get from this word, idios? Yes. Isn't that funny? I think that's so funny. You have to be an idiot to privately interpret God's word, basically, okay? God's word doesn't say that literally in that form. But this, it says that it, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. We're not supposed to privately interpret this word. That means something great. It means God's word is completely empowering because it's not our interpretation. Then whose is it? It's God's. The notion that God's word interprets itself is, it's life-changing. It's completely empowering because you found the truth. It's not about you figuring out what you think it means. You see? It's a huge difference. It's us believing what God says of himself, which is great. This word interpretation means letting loose. Now, we can all sit down and read something from God's word, and we could let loose on it and say, well, I think it means this. And someone else says, well, mine is better. I think it means this. And someone else says, no, mine is more dramatic. I think it means that. You see what I'm saying? We don't let loose on God's word. We keep the same word that's been taught, and we keep God's word of what he says it means. And that's where it's at. You know, we don't tell God what he meant. God tells us what he meant in his word. Look at, the next verse, right? Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. Oh, man. That's good. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved means revelation. They received revelation. Go to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. These are great keys to understand God's word and to see for yourself that God's word is just a miracle. It's amazing. It's the truth that God revealed to us, the Creator revealed to us. It's not words of men. It's words of God. In Galatians 1:12, it says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But how? But by revelation of or pertaining to Jesus Christ. This individual, Paul, who wrote this epistle, received God's word by revelation, by way of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. And that changes everything. That's God's word. That it's not man's word. And you have it in your midst. You have it on your lap. You have it in your phone. You have it in your heart. You have God's word. And that just is the best. There's nothing better anywhere, anytime than God's word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16. This is fantastic. In light of God's word being received by revelation, it says, 3:16, 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This inspiration of God means God breathed. He breathed, and when you speak, you're breathing and you speak your words. Well, that's what God did. God breathed. He gave his word by inspiration of God. God breathed. And then it says it's profitable. Hey, if you knew something was profitable, wouldn't you want to be in on that? Yeah. I would. It's profitable. That means advantageous. There's a gain. It's beneficial. It's useful. God's word is profitable for what? Look what it says. For doctrine. That's right believing. So there must definitely be wrong believing. Can I get a well? No. Not everybody is right just because they talk. Okay? Doctrine is right believing. That's what God's word is profitable for. If somebody shares something that's contrary to God's word, it is not right doctrine. And that's simple to see. You know, you cannot have a bleeding heart and just accept anyone says because they say it so sincerely and so lovingly and so kindly, but they could be dead wrong if it's not lined up with God's word. Sincerity is no guarantee for truth. The doctrine of God's word, that's what's true. And then it says, for reproof, it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof. Reproof is when you're not believing rightly. You ever get reproved? Some people more than others. Maybe some of you need to be reproved. Man, you should be thankful if you get reproved, because someone's helping you believe rightly. And then it says for correction. It's profitable for correction. That's back to right believing. And that's all love, loving to do those things, to share the doctrine of God's word and to reprove and to correct. All that is what? It says it. What is all that? Instruction in righteousness. Do we like righteousness?
Yes.
Oh man, you should love righteousness. Righteousness is what a concept God invented, that we're righteous. It means the ability to stand before God without any sense of fear, guilt, shortcomings, or condemnation. That is an ability we have. And the doctrine is profitable for this. God's breathed word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. And all of that is instruction in righteousness. You see, the adversary is going to try to talk you out of your righteousness as much as he can. And you all know what I'm talking about. But the way God sees us is righteous. And that is something that, man, God wants known. He wants people to think of themselves that way, the way he made us to be. Go to 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That is the purpose, and it's truly furnished. It means fully equipped for a voyage. God gave us his word so that we would be fully equipped for this voyage through life. You have what you need regarding anything of what's right, what's wrong, the truth in God's word. He gave it to us in his word. So this word has integrity. It means what it says and it says what it means. Right?
Yes.
So when God's word says we're ambassadors for Christ, then what?
Ambassadors.
Only when you feel like it.
No.
You sure? Only when you're at fellowship.
No.
But out of fellowship, you're not an ambassador. No. Only when you're odor-free. No. Only when you're nothing. You're just an ambassador all the time. You see? God made you that way. You really are an ambassador. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5:18. We're going to read a couple of verses before this ambassador verse and see what it says here. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a couple few verses there. Those verses right there are padacked. Those are some loaded verses right there. I mean, God is not playing around. He did some serious, made some serious moves here. In verse 18, it says, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." A ministry of something is a service rendered by a servant. A ministry. It's a service rendered by a servant. And a ministry of reconciliation is a ministry to put back together that which was separated. So reconciliation is coming back together. So like, picture this was one sphere, right? And it was separated in parts. Putting it back together would be?
Reconciling
it. And that's what putting it back together is all about. And it's putting back together with God, putting men and women back together with God. And if you remember some stuff you might have heard, man was formed, made, and created with body, soul, and spirit. But when the whole thing happened in Genesis, with the fall of man, man lost spirit. And God wants people to have spirit back. He wants them to be put back together with Him, God, who is the Holy Spirit, and we get put back together with Him. That's the whole deal. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have this ministry, a service, to put back together that which was separated." And in verse 20 it says, "Now then we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." See, God did exhort you by us. When you speak to someone about God's word, God is asking them. He is asking them to listen to you and be reconciled. Where it says, "We pray you," okay? That is urgently request you. "Now then we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, we urgently request you in Christ's stead to be put back together with God, to be reconciled with God." So look at that. It's an urgent request to be put back together with God. It's great. So what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of the highest rank to bring forth a message. That's what an ambassador is. So we're going to look at this here. We are personal representatives, okay, of Christ. It's like all of us, you know, Nick, Tessa, Tim, Nathaniel, Malia, Bella, Elizabeth, you're a personal representative of Christ. That's pretty deep. And it says the definition is a representative of the highest rank, okay? We're ambassadors for Christ. Think about the highest rank for a minute. Who could be above the Lord Christ? It is literally the highest rank. This is not an example of being a representative of a president or a king of a nation in the world. Look at this. See the world here? You could just pick any nation. Which one? Oh, I picked somewhere in South America or Central America, whatever that little country is. Imagine being an ambassador for that little country, as opposed to being ambassador for the Lord, the highest rank. Well, you're an ambassador for the Lord Christ. He is the head of the body. He who is seated at the right hand of God. He's the promised seed, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the only begotten Son of God. You are a representative, a personal representative of Him. Webster's definition, not the Webster family, but the book, the dictionary of the word ambassador is an envoy, a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, or appointed for special and often temporary diplomatic assignment, an authorized representative or messenger. That's the dictionary definition of an ambassador. And in the Bullinger Critical Lexicon and Concordance for the Bible, an ambassador is an elder or eldest to rank. It takes precedence of others. And I thought about that. I was like, an elder and rank. I was like, okay, well, If one nation sends a group of people to another nation, they want to hear from the ambassador, not some middle management person, right? They want to hear from the person. That's, it takes precedent. And then it's to be an ambassador or go as an ambassador, to treat as an ambassador or negotiate as an ambassador. So this word ambassador is really cool. In the world, it's a representative of like a president or a king, to represent that king on their behalf. Hearing an ambassador is equivalent to hearing the president or the king that they represent. So we're going to look at what are some perks of being an ambassador for Christ versus being like a government ambassador. This was really cool to see. Because God in his incredible mercy and grace made us ambassadors for Christ. This is really cool. We're going to go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 9. So one of the things about a government ambassador is that they represent the head of state, like I mentioned, like a president or a king. But we are representative of someone a little higher than that. There's actually no higher position than representing Christ than it would have to be God himself. Because Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And look what it says in Philippians 2:9. It says, wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So look at that. You are a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little old you and little old me. That's quite an amazing truth. And it is the truth because God's word says so. And what God's word says is true. So sometimes we got to get out of the way of our own thinking and say, okay, God says it, then that settles it. And you believe it. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Becoming a U.S. ambassador, you know, like an ambassador for the United States of America, requires a presidential nomination and confirmation from the Senate, which is a process that takes a long time. But look what God's word says about you in Ephesians 1:4. It says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what?
Love.
We were chosen by God a long time ago. Look at Colossians 3, a couple pages over. Colossians 3, verse 12. It says here, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look at that, what it says there. Put on as the elect of God. We were chosen by God. We were elected by God a long time ago to be ambassadors for Christ. We were nominated for the job. And we got approved without the Senate having to vote on us. Go to 1 Peter 1. So being an ambassador, here's another one. An ambassador serves at the pleasure of the president. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, okay, an ambassador serves at the pleasure of the president. What that means is, as long as he wants you to be one. If he's done with you, you're no longer an ambassador. You've been fired, okay? In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And when we're born again, so much happened. We became sons of God, and we received Holy Spirit, and we became ambassadors, and the floodgates were open, and so many other things. And none of those things are revocable. All of those things we've got for the long haul, for our life. It is a lifetime deal. It's not just at the pleasure of the president. We never lose our position in Christ, and our spirit is incorruptible, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And how sad is it that so many sweet Christians don't even know they're going to heaven? They don't know. Very few people that believe in God know for a surety that they're going to heaven. They pray to go to heaven. I was asked 2 weeks ago to pray for somebody that they would go to heaven. And I said, no. Why would I pray for something that I know is already true? You've already got it. What are you going to pray for it for? And this person was really nice, a really sweet person, you know? And it was like, good gravy. The adversary has hid the truth, twisted it, just curved it a little bit to where people that are Christians don't even know if they're going to heaven. We could change that by speaking up and being ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. We read it already, but it says here, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He committed his word of reconciliation to us. He already committed it to us. So you have it. You have the word of reconciliation. It's not going to be taken away from you. It's not going to be like, oh, you have his word now, but now you don't. Give it back. No, he committed it to you. You have it. It's not going to be revoked. It's a lifetime appointment, never to be revoked, rescinded, or dismissed. He has committed it to us. We're ambassadors for Christ for our life. Ephesians 2:19 says something great. Talks about an ambassador. Ambassadors are given special residences, and a lot of times they're located on the compound of the embassy of that country in a foreign land. And they're given this living situation free of charge. They live there. They're put up in this place to live in an embassy. And in Ephesians 2:19, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When we got born again, we became fellow citizens with the saints. We're part of God's country. We're fellow citizens with the saints, and you became a member of the household of God. We live in God's house. That great song, that we're not of this world. You know, we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We're going to heaven for sure because we have eternal life. And, you know, as far as our residence, we are residents in the household of God. And go to Ephesians 2:6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like I said, we're seated in the heavenlies. There it is. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. You're seated in the heavenlies. Jesus Christ paid the price for eternal life. That's it. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Ambassadors have something called diplomatic immunity. Sounds pretty good. Wouldn't you want to have that? In another country, what it means is that, therefore, they're protected against prosecution in the receiving country for the entire period in which they hold their diplomatic post as an ambassador. That's pretty good. But check this out, Romans 4, 24 and 25, it says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what?
Justification.
Keep going. 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's believing. You're justified by what?
Believing.
You're justified by what?
Believing.
Not because you're so perfect, because nobody is. Jesus Christ was the only perfect one. You're justified by believing. Believing him. Believing the word. By you having been born again, you're justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, believing, we have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also you have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, we're justified, and what that means is it's just as if you never sinned. You have heavenly immunity. Thank God for that, because we blow it all the time, don't we? We do. We blow it all the time. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't be good enough. And don't you think God figured that out already for us? Way before we were even a protein or whatever? I mean, Jesus Christ paid for all the sins of the world because God wanted it. He asked him to, and he said okay, and he did it willingly. God figured it out throughout all the history of the world, all the people. He gave them the law. Were they able to keep it? Were they able to keep the law in the Old Testament?
No,
they were not. They were not. Jesus Christ was the only one. God figured it out. Mankind, he loved us. So he sent us his son to take care of that whole deal. We couldn't do it. That's why it's by faith that we're saved. You don't earn anything from God. It's all been freely given. Jesus Christ took care of it for us. He paid that price. So we enjoy heavenly immunity, which is amazing, that forgiveness we enjoy. Romans 8, 31. Thank God for that, huh? Now that takes some bold believing to believe. So many nice, kind, humble people want to think of themselves as horrible because they know they sin. But is that the word, to think of yourself as horrible? No, it's not. It's not right. When you believe what God has done, you don't hold those things against yourself. That's condemnation. And that's standing before God righteous. There's no condemnation when you stand before God as righteous. That's what God wants people to enjoy. That's why you're so beautiful, because you believe God's word. And you want to stand before God as who he's made you to be, not what you think of yourself. So great. Where did I say to go?
8:31.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who in the heck can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This, when I read this, this is like, bam! Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? God elected you. Good gravy. If anyone even tries, they need to get under the building. Get out of the way. Shut your face. It is God that justifieth. No one should point the finger at you. God has justified you by the life of Jesus Christ, who paid for all the sins of the world. You enjoy forgiveness of sin. That's why you are righteous. And that's the truth of God's word. That's what's been hidden and buried, that the adversary tries to hide under 1,000 miles of steel so that nobody could ever know it or hear it or believe it. But thank God we sit here today like a miracle that you have God's word in your midst, that you could read it and believe it yourself and be the awesome son or daughter of God that he's called you to be. You're an ambassador. So shut your face. You're God's elect. I love that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Hebrews 13. So some U.S. ambassadors and other ambassadors throughout the world have bodyguards. They have bodyguards. And what are they supposed to do? Help you, protect you, you know, save you and stuff like that? Well, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." God is always with us. You're never going to go anywhere without him. You might think you're alone, but are you? No. You're never alone. God is always with you. And that's why you don't have to fear what anyone could ever do to you. You have God's presence always with you. He's always there. He never turns his back on us. Sometimes men turn their back on God, and maybe you know some people who have done that. But God will never turn his back on you. And that's pretty awesome. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. And that, my friends, is a bona fide promise in God's word that you can count on with your whole life, which is great. Acts chapter 1. This is cool. You ever wonder how powerful an ambassador is? I'm talking about a government ambassador, you know, for like a country, a nation. Acts chapter 1. Here. Ambassadors are diplomats of the highest rank, formally representing, not formally like they used to, but formally. They formally represent the head of state that they're from with plenipotentiary powers. That's a big word. This word means a person vested with full power of independent action on behalf of their government. It means they could sign documents that are legally binding between one nation and another. It's pretty cool, right? Plenipotentiary powers a government ambassador has. That's the power that they have. We'll look at Acts 1:8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." When we believed, we received that power, because what Jesus Christ said came to pass. On the day of Pentecost, they received Holy Spirit within, and they spoke in tongues, and they received power from on high. And that's the same thing you did when you believed. You received power from on high. In one shot, you got all the power you'd ever get by way of the Holy Spirit that you have. And the power that we can manifest with that Holy Spirit is everything God's word says it is. In Ephesians 1:19, this was so fun to look at all this stuff of what an ambassador is and the perks of us being ambassadors. Ephesians 1:19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who?"
Us.
Other people. the exceeding great power to other people. No, it's usward. It includes you. It includes you. It includes you. And what is this exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Because you believed. You believed. So you have this power according to the working of his mighty power. We have the power of God, and it's not of us. And we can do what God's word says we can do. Romans 8, 37. You have the power in this life. And it's great. This is awesome. This is a life above measure. You see what I'm talking about? An abundant life. Christ came. God sent his only begotten son so that we can have this life and have it how? More than abundantly. But the adversary came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to rip it right out of your life. Right out of your white knuckles, he's going to try to rip it from you unless you hold on to it and kick him in his teeth with believing and the word. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's it. And in Romans 8:37, this verse is almost unbelievable. But who said it?
God.
By way of revelation, God said it. Therefore, that settles it. We accept it and believe it. And it says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are what?
More than
again, it's not just conquerors, it's more than conquerors through him that loved us. When God does something, he does it like to the umpth degree, okay? There's no better thing. There's nothing that goes beyond it. He came, he sent his son, Jesus Christ came so we could have life more than abundantly, a more than abundant life. And we're more than conquerors in this life. Because we have the power of God. He gave it to us. You have spirit. You have the same thing Jesus Christ had. Jesus Christ had spirit. We have spirit. Man, we're powerful. We're more than conquerors in this world because it's God and Christ in us. So, compared to signing a document from one nation to another, what would you prefer?
This.
Thank you. All right. 1 John 3. How about how to greet an ambassador? A U.S. ambassador, for example. 1 John 3. So, addressing a high commissioner or an ambassador, the way you do it is you say, His Excellency or Her Excellency. That's how you greet an ambassador. Like one nation to another when they come, you know? And depending on the event, the full attire, like the highest level of attire of an ambassador, oh man, they even wear like the sash across the chest and like the white glove. I mean, they look sharp. You know what I'm saying? Like the full dress of an ambassador. That's why they're called Your Excellency. I mean, that's pretty cool in a way, right? You want a job and be called His Excellency? Yeah. Well, let's see here. 1 John 3, verse 1. It says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This is behold, okay? That means check it out, right? Check it out. Look at it. Behold it. What manner of love, the kind of love that God had for us, that he bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth this not because it knew him not. And I will tell you, there's nothing higher than being called a son of God. No position here on this earth is higher than being called a son of God. That's the highest, because that's what God called his only begotten son, the son of God, Jesus Christ. He called him a son, and that's what we are. We're his sons. And that's just awesome. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the Son of God. Now, can you envision the difference of a president or a king sending an ambassador who's not just a government employee, but his actual son, the family member, the son that he raised, the son that he taught, the son that he loves, that he sends that son as an ambassador instead of some government position. Well, that's what it's like for us. Colossians 1:27. We're right in the neighborhood, kind of. Colossians 1:27. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, you should mark it right now. This is one of the great verses in the Bible as well. Here it says, Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. We are ambassadors, the actual sons of God that have been sent. We're not just an employee that could be let go. We're the actual sons of God that have been sent with a message, with a great message to the world. And we represent Christ. We carry the authority to speak on Christ's behalf. Legally, it's us who act on behalf of Christ here today. Do you understand you're an ambassador for Christ? That's what you are. That's the truth. That's what God made you to be. Whether you like it or not, you're an ambassador for Christ. And I just have, let's see, there's two more verses here. What is the message that we have as ambassadors? I'm just going to share a snippet of it with you. He committed his word to us, the word of reconciliation, right? That means he gave us the words to share. He gave us the words that we're ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador, that verse, it's our theme verse, as ambassador says, we pray you, we urgently request that you be reconciled to God, put back together with God. And in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, these are the word that he committed to us. This is the how to reconcile people back to God. How is it that a person could be put back together with God? This verse right here, or these verses right here, are just so simple. They're so simple that people miss it their whole life because it's so simple. They think it has to be complicated and, you know, just like you have to calculate and figure everything out. But meanwhile, God made it so simple in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Read it with me. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If somebody believes that, ba-ba-boo, saved. That's right. That's it. They've been reconciled. They're now righteous before God. They could enjoy not diplomatic immunity, but heavenly immunity. They can be sons of God by believing that. And that's what we do. We reconcile people back to God by being an ambassador and sharing the truth of God's word. God wants people saved. He wants people to be righteous. He's made them righteous. He wants them to walk righteously. You know, most Christians stand condemned before him instead of righteous before him. And that's just not cool with me. Not cool with you either. You shouldn't let any believer just walk around condemned and be like, blah, blah, blah. Because he's risen. That's the deal. Christ got up from the dead. Nobody else was resurrected from the dead, never to die again. People were raised from the dead in the word and in the world. But resurrected, never to die again, Jesus Christ was the only one. He's the first fruits of death. And he's risen. That's the difference between him and any other person that ever lived. He was risen from the dead. That's the greatest news of all time. That is the best news any ears have ever heard. There's nothing that's ever happened that can overshadow that news that he is risen. And to close, 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. This is God's heart, man. God's heart is not a secret. He tells us what his heart is in his word. And he says in 1 Timothy 2, 4, who will have all men to be what? Saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. And the word will there is that great passionate will. It's his heart. It's his instinct. He doesn't have to think about it very long. That's just what he wants. He wants all men to be saved and to enjoy the life that he's made available, the more than abundant life, the being more than a conqueror, to enjoy righteousness in this life, to know you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you, to just be the great son and daughter of God that God has called us to be. That's what he wants for people. He wants them saved and to come unto that knowledge of the truth, a clear and exact understanding of the truth. You're God's dream, don't you see? People like you that would believe him and trust him and love him. Man, that's what turns God on, believing and trust. And he asks us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Man, and God gave us this life to live it. To live it, man. I mean, my gosh, don't let it pass you by. Where all these years go by and you're like, why didn't I take a stand on the word? My goodness gracious, live it now. Forget about the BS that's holding you back. Just cut it loose. Don't even bother with it anymore. Just cut it off and don't be held back. God's word has integrity. It means what it says and says what it means. So when God's word says you're an ambassador for Christ, then what? You're an ambassador for Christ. A representative of the highest rank to bring forth a message. Man, he's risen. That's basically it. That's our message. He's risen. And some of those perks of being an ambassador for Christ far outweigh the perks of being some worldly ambassador. We're personal representatives of the Lord Christ Jesus in our ambassadorship. We're chosen and elected by God a long time ago to be an ambassador for Christ. This is a lifetime appointment never to be revoked, rescinded, or dismissed. We have special residence in the household of God. We're seated in the heavenlies, and this world is not our home. We're justified just as if we never sinned. We enjoy heavenly immunity and forgiveness with God. God is always with us. When we believed, we received power. God gave us Holy Spirit when we believed, and we can manifest his power. There's nothing higher than being a son of God, and we are ambassadors, that actual son of God who's been sent with a message. That's who you are. You're an ambassador. Amen?
Amen.
All right.